is the Son? Turn to your neighbor and say, who is the Son? Say, you are the Son. No, no, some of you are thinking already. Who is the Son? Who is the Son? We've been doing a series that we started about 7 or 8 weeks ago on who is the Holy Spirit. And then as we've been talking about who is the Holy Spirit, I have just was just gripped with so much that we are enjoying so much learning who the Holy Spirit is as a person that we're going to look at who the Son is. And how many know what next the series is going to be? Who's the Father? That's right. So you already know what's going to be happening for the rest of the year. We got God giving us a series, and I believe that what is happening here, we've been doing a series on who is the Holy Spirit as we're learning to realize the person, the Godhead, and what their role is in my life and how I can identify with them. How many of you have ever heard a pastor say, man, God wants you to have a personal relationship with him? We've all heard that before, but how many know it's sometimes kind of hard to have a personal relationship unless you can understand the relationship aspect of that. How can I have a relationship with the Holy Spirit? It's a spirit. And so we spent a lot of time discovering and looking at Scripture and seeing its role in our life and what it brings giftings to us and empowers us, and that it's a real person, that the Holy Spirit is a real person, a real part of the Godhead. And God has called us to have a personal relationship with him. If you've missed any of that series, I know there's been a lot of people traveling during the summertime and this holiday weekend as well. We have people who are traveling and think that happens. And so I encourage you, get online. If you've missed any of those sermons on who the Holy Spirit is, get online. Learn about that. I tell you, how many people today can say that series is changing my life? That series changed my life. Who the Holy Spirit? Many of you emailed me, told me a lot of things that God was doing in your life is changing your life, changing your walk with God, is changing your relationship with who he is. You can get online and listen to those. Shoshana, where are you at? Shoshana, she was back there teaching today, right? She told me before she left today, she said, Pastor, I was in New York last week, so I downloaded the sermon, and I was listening to your sermon on the plane coming back home from New York, and I was just bawling on the plane. And my husband's like, what's wrong with you? And she's like, I'm listening to Pastor G's sermon. And so you can get online, listen to those sermons, and you can catch up what the things maybe you've missed, or maybe refresh yourself, keep that alive in your heart, what God's speaking to you. So we're talking about this relationship with the Holy Spirit. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Now we're moving into the relationship with the Son. Who is the Son? That's Jesus. We know that. So we're going to talk about this thought today. Who is the Son? He is Jesus the carpenter. Jesus the carpenter. And when I say carpenter today, I'm not going to be giving you a big, long sermon on carpenters, you know, and what they do and how that relates to your life. But when I'm saying carpenter is I want you to get in your mindset Jesus as a person, Jesus as a human being. Because if we can relate to him, as we can have this relationship with him, we oftentimes forget that he was a person just like you and I. That he walked here on earth just like you and I. He had a job just like you and I. He had things in his life that were just like you and I. And so even though he was fully God, he was also fully man. And to identify with him and to develop this relationship to a deeper level with him, we've got to understand him as a carpenter, him as a human being. How many ever loves it when you see politicians? This is something that always cracks me up. You ever see politicians, and I think it's on both sides of the ticket. Every year this happens when someone's running for the office, you'll see some politician fly in on, you know, his jet plane and get into his limousine and head down to the bank in his tie, and he sits down with the bankers and he's listening to them, and the people are interviewing there, and he's like, you know, my father was a banker, and so I identify with you. I know where you're coming from. I understand the pressures of the market and what's happening here. And, you know, I want you to know I'm in your corner. And then he leaves there and gets in a limousine and he changes his clothes and he puts on a white coat and a hard hat and he goes down to the factory down the street and he gets in there and says, you know, my father's sister's husband was a factory worker. And I want you to know, I know what it is to slave over machines and work shift work and to have long hours and then worry about how you're going to feed your family. I understand these things, and I want you to know I'm in your corner. And he gets in his limousine and goes down and changes his clothes and puts on overalls and gets on a tractor and rides out somewhere in some farmer in a hat. And he's like, you know, my brother's aunt's uncle, cousin to the third kin was actually a farmer. And I want you to know I identify with you. And I understand what it is to have to work the ground because my brother's aunt, uncle, second, third cousin of the sister, they also had to work the ground. So I want you, I'm in your corner and I can identify with you. How many know that's kind of a false tense of, it's just kind of a false advertisement, isn't it? We really, when we see that, we don't buy into that as a country. We don't buy into that. We know he can't be all those things. He really can't identify. This is someone selling false advertisement here. He really doesn't understand everything as much as he says he does or she says she does. But today, as we look at Jesus, the Son, the carpenter, we see today that he was the person who we can identify with. And he's the person who can identify with us. Let's look at Hebrews 2, 17 and 18. Look what it says here. Therefore, in all things, it's talking about Jesus, he had to be made like his brethren. Who's that? Who's his brethren? That's us. That's us. He's talking about us, those people here on earth. In all things. Isn't that cool? In all things, he had to be made like us, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he was able to aid those who are tempted. Now, this is a powerful scripture when we look at it, because it's talking here about he has come to aid us who have been tempted. And he can aid us because why? Because he is a merciful and faithful, because he was made like you and I. He was called to aid us in our temptation. So let me ask this question. How many today has ever been tempted in your life? Okay, the rest of you, I want you to raise your hand now. Everybody else, raise your hand. God forgive them for lying right now in Jesus' name. Because every one of us have been tempted, haven't we? Even Jesus, this is what he's saying. Even Jesus has been tempted. And he is called to aid us in our temptation. That's what he's called to do, to give us mercy and to things pertaining to God. We see what this is actually meaning when it's talking about propitiation. This is a hard word, okay? I need the interpretation right now. Someone give me the interpretation. We can pray for this. Actually, what it means is this. When Scripture's talking about this, it's actually talking about this word about justifying, making amends to. But not only making amends to, but it's talking about the satisfying of the offended. The satisfying of the offended. That there was an offense made by our sin. There was an offense made in the garden by our sin. And that this is talking about making justifying to the wrath of God. It's basically what it comes out to. That the wrath of God needed justification. And that through this, that Jesus brought justification. He settled the wrath of God. That he brought an equaling in the scale of justice. We see the scale of justice like this, tipped. Our sin and God's righteousness, Jesus' righteousness and sacrifice, brought it back and it satisfied the wrath of God in our life. And so he understands, this is what it's talking about, the brethren here, that he understands us. Let's continue to read this. Hebrews 4, 15 and 16. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are. Isn't that a powerful statement? Let's read it again. For we do not have, otherwise we do have this in our God. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. We know he didn't sin, but yet he was tempted in every area we were. Let us therefore come boldly. Man, that's strong. We are to come with confidence, knowing, listen, come boldly to the throne of grace, not the throne of judgment. Oftentimes we hear about the throne of judgment. But he's talking about the throne of grace, that we come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Now, this is a very strong scripture because it's talking about the throne of grace, something that we don't hear talked about a lot. We hear about the throne of judgment, but we're talking about the throne of grace and what its place is in our life. How many know today that we identify with people when they go through things we've gone through? That my wife and I, that when we meet people who have suffered miscarriages and a lot of miscarriages, our heart automatically goes to them. We can identify with them. And when I hear that, my heart automatically, I just have so much mercy and grace to want to give those people, because I know what it is to go through that, to go through that disappointment and the pain of losing a child during pregnancy. That's a very tender thing. And those of you who've gone through that, you know what I'm talking about. Your heart automatically goes to people when you hear about that. And when you talk to somebody who's gone through that, you automatically just, you connect, because you know, hey, I've been through that as well. I remember that when we were born, twins were born, and Hayden was born with a bilateral cleft palate and lip, and his whole mouth was open, and it needed a lot of surgery to close that up and repair the things that were done there. That man was devastating to us, that we were unprepared for it, and it was really devastating. But now, as we've worked through that, when we meet parents, as we go throughout the Children's Mercy, and we go to places of the hospitals, and we meet parents who are coming in for the first time, our heart goes out to them, and we want to talk to them, we want to encourage them and tell them there's going to be better days, and we understand what you're going through, and having, don't understand what they give you material, and it doesn't make sense to you, and you're trying to learn how to feed this baby, and there's a lot of things going on. So our hearts automatically go to people like that, and we understand, and we have grace and mercy that we want to give to them because we have walked in their shoes. Now, if you don't get anything else today, I want you to get this right here. If you don't get anything else today, you got to get this in your spirit and realize today that our God, when he looks at us and we go to him, he has nothing to give us but mercy and grace because he's walked in our shoes. He understands what you've been through. He understands what you're going through. He understands the problems you have. He understands the temptations that you have. He understands the demonic things that are attacking your heart and your family. He understands these disappointments in your life. He understands because he's walked in your shoes. We don't have a God who's sitting up there with a hammer ready to bust you in the head, but he's a God who says, you know what? Hey. I have mercy and grace to give to them because I understand. I identify with what they're going through. I know what it is to have every demon in the hell attacking you. I know what it is to have Satan on your back 24/7. I understand this. And he understands. And he identifies with you and I. And it changes your relationship with the Son. It changes your relationship with Jesus when you see him for the person he was. And he can identify with you. This is not some pie in the sky that we're just seeing about here, but he was a man that came down, who left heaven to walk in our shoes, that he can bring grace and mercy. I can't get a politician to give me grace and mercy from Washington, D.C., who's never walked in my shoes. No matter how many hats he puts on or how many people come through, I don't care what senator it is. I don't care. They can change the titles. They can't identify with me if they haven't walked in my shoes. But man, we got a God who walked in our shoes. He understands what I'm going through. He understands what you're going through. It's called the throne of grace because the one sitting on the throne has walked where we've walked. The devil wants you to think that you're the only one who's struggling. Man, the devil wants you to think, and Satan attacks your mind and says, man, you're the only one who's struggling. You're the only one who's weak. You're the only one. You're the only one. That's what he does to the Christian. He comes, and man, he likes to tell you, you're the only one who's struggling. You're the only one who's tempted. And you get thinking, that's right, I am. I'm just a horrible person. I'm bad. You know, that church, I can't even really know that because the rest of these people, they're all holy. But man, I'm bad. How many know that's not true, is it? It's not true. And Satan tries to lie to us. And today he tries to bring that lie to isolate you from God. He wants to bring you that lie because he does not want you going to the throne of grace. He wants you to isolate yourself from the throne of grace. He doesn't want you to develop a relationship with the carpenter. He doesn't want you to develop a relationship with God. He doesn't want you to develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit. He wants to keep you as far away from that as possible, so he will feed your mind. I'm not worthy. I was tempted here. I made a mistake here. I did this. If everybody only knew what I used to do and what I've done. We feel so bad and shameful. But the one sitting on the throne of grace understands. Wow, and he brings mercy and grace. That's a powerful thing today, and it changes your relationship with the Son. It changes your relationship with Jesus when you realize he has walked in my shoes and he understands. He became a carpenter, a human, so we could identify with him. And I believe we can identify with him. And I'm going to give you three areas I believe we identify real strong with him in. We're going to get these real fast today, and then I'm going to let you go, okay? Number one, Jesus understands relationships. Jesus understands relationships. Mark 6:3. Look what it says here. It's not the carpenter. Is this not the carpenter? Talking about Jesus, the son of Mary. Remind me later to tell you why the son of Mary is very important here, okay? If I forget it, someone remind me. The son of Mary and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon Are not all his sisters here with us? So we know Jesus had, first of all, he had a big family. He had some brothers, he had some sisters. And how many know that every family relationship, siblings just get along just great, don't they? How many know the siblings just get along just great? And there's never no arguments, there's never no fighting. The families never have problems, do they? The families always get along just great. Everything just like the Brady Bunch. And man, it's just fine and dandy. We all gel together. You know, Jesus understands your relationships. He understands what it means to have rivals with your, and have people who do you wrong. Let me share this with you and show you even more about this. Mark 3:31. Look at this. Mark 3:31 through 34. Then his brothers and his mothers came. Standing outside, they sent to him, calling to him. And it says, and the multitude was sitting around him. So here's Jesus teaching the multitude. Disciples come to him and said, hey, listen, Jesus, look. Your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you. Look at his answer. But he answered them, saying, who is my mother? Or my brothers? And he looked around the circle and he said, those who sat around him, and he said, here, these are my mothers, these are my brothers. Now we look at that and think, well, this is deep theology, man. He was just identifying. I want you to really see the spirit of what was going on behind here. Look what happened. Let's back it up. This happened in verse 31. Let's back it up about 10 verses in verse 21. But when his own people, who was his own people? This would have been his family. This is what this translates to. His closest friends, his family. But when his family, his own people heard about this, about everything he was teaching and doing, they went out to lay hold of him. They wanted to get their hands on him. Look at what they were saying. For they said, he is out of his mind. And then 10 verses later, they come looking for him. There he is. Oh, let's go find Jesus. Come here. Jesus, get out here. What are you doing? Teaching all this stuff. What are you doing? Get out here. Get your brothers. Jesus, what are you doing? These people are going to be so disappointed when they know that you're just my brother. Get out here. This is what's going to everyone lay their hands on him because he is out of his mind. And so they come out to get him. And look what Jesus says. He says, who is my mother? Who is my brothers? Not those jerks right there. You are. This is what Jesus is suffering with relationship problems here. This is what's going on right here. This is what Jesus is happening here. Jesus is being doubted and confused by with his own family. Man, they don't even understand his ministry. Not even accepting his ministry. And so when he sits down to teach, they come to get him and take him out. Jesus, get away from there. Quit trying to teach this. Oh, my word. We're going to be kicked out. Come here. And Jesus is like, oh, please. You know, you ever had that time where you just want to go to school and someone asks you if you're here to talk about your kid? And you're like, yeah, the honorable kid over there, you know. Who is my kid? I don't know. It's not the one in the office waiting on me. I got to get there. And Jesus understands the relationship problems we have with family. He understands the relationship problems we have with people. He understands this so much. He knows what it is to have people mad at him. He knows what it is to grieve when he went to Lazarus. And when he got there, it says that his family was like, Jesus, if you had only been here. But now he's dead, Lord. I don't believe it was said like that. I believe these were his friends. And they were like, Jesus, if you had taken your time, my brother would be alive. It's your fault. It's your fault, Jesus. He's not alive right now. I believe there was some anger coming out of him. He knows that people were mad at him. He understands what it is that people misunderstand what was happening there. They didn't fully comprehend the situation. And so in their anger and in their grieving, they lashed out at him. The ones that he loved dearly. And it says that it bothered him so much that he even wept and he cried. It moved him. He understands to have people close to you break your heart. He understands to have those who are your best friends desert you in your time of need. He understands what it is to ask those to pray for you who you think are the very closest ones who can pray for you and then to fall asleep while you're trying to pray. He understands that. He understands what it is to have the Father turn his back on you. He understands that. He understands. He understands relationships. He understands what it means to be single and to struggle. He understands that. Well, Pastor, does he understand what it means to be married? Some of you are thinking that right now. I read your mind. Yes, he does. He understands what it is to have a bride who cheats on you. Because the scripture teaches that he is the groom and we are the bride of Christ. Now we had that kind of relationship with him. And when he still was grooming us and wooing us, we rejected him. We ran from him. We cheated on him. He understands. So he understands what it means to have your bride or your groom to do you wrong. He understands these things. So I ask this question, why don't we talk to him more about our relationships? Why don't we identify more with our relationships with him? Because he understands these things. He understands these relationships in our life. Why don't we talk more about him? Tell him why we're hurting and tell him the things we're going through. He just wouldn't understand. Yes, he would. He understands. He identifies with us. Number two, Jesus understands your work. He understands your work. We realize that most of the scripture and the things that happened in the Gospels here, these are chronicling the last 3 years of Jesus' life. This is what's really what his public ministry was about, 3 years in his last 3 years of his life. Before then, he was a carpenter, probably about the age of 12 on. So for about 18 years, he spent working as a carpenter. 18 years he spent working as a carpenter. He spent a lot more time working as a carpenter than he ever did in ministry. Public ministry. And so he can understand what it is to have problems with people at work. He understands as a carpenter that not everybody's going to like what you do. He's going to understand to have people who tell you they'll pay you and then you get there and they don't pay you. He understands to have people tell you they're going to show up for work and they don't show up for work. And he understands to have people who don't appreciate the hard work that you do. And he understands to have people who gripe and complain because what you built wasn't what they wanted. He understands the pressures of trying to pay your taxes. He understands the pressures of trying to work with employees and employers and bosses. He understands this. He was a hard worker. Carpentry was not like it is today. He didn't have the power tools, okay? I mean, when he drove nails, he drove nails. When he saw the board, he saw the board. The other day, I saw one little board about this big, and my electric saw went out, and so I was thinking, I got to cut this board, this little big board here. I don't want to have to go run down to the Lowe's and do this little board. And so I found this metal thing on the wall that had its little teeth in it. I was like, I think that thing will work. I think it still will work. So I got that thing out. And I had to take like two breaks just to get my arm, you know. A little board. Man, he was a man's man, man. He cut things with his hands, and he drove things with his arms and hands, and he used the skills of his hands, and he knows what it is to sweat and to be tired, to be wore out, to be fatigued. He understands. He understands the hardness of a job, and he understands what comes along with working a job and having people wanting more than you can give. He understands to have three jobs pulling at you at the same time. He understands these things. He was a carpenter. He understands that you may not enjoy your job. He understands that maybe you're having a hard time at your work. If he understands this, why don't we talk to him more about our job? Why don't we talk to him more about our frustrations at work when we're struggling? Well, he just wouldn't understand me and my job. Yes, he would. He was a carpenter for 18 years. He understands what you're going through. And he's come to give you grace and mercy. Wow. Our God can identify with us. He knows what it is to go through hard times when people aren't hiring. No one wants to use a carpenter right now. He understands when the economy is not like it should be. He understands how to stretch it through and to make it through. He understands. He identifies with us. So why don't we talk to him more about our stresses of our jobs? He identifies with us. Number three. He understands pain. Jesus understands pain. Isaiah 53:3, we see where Jesus, he understands emotional pain. It says, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He knows what it is to have emotional pain. He was ridiculed. I mean, he wasn't just ridiculed, but you realize at the cross, we're thinking about the cross. I mean, you're thinking about the cross already. But I would tell you this, that Jesus was ridiculed all his life. His own family. Oh, you had the manger birth, didn't you? Okay. You were the chosen son. And so he had to live up to that all his life with his siblings and his family. And then the society. Oh, yeah. You were born by the Holy Spirit. Sure. Joseph says it. He didn't do it. And your mom had this baby out of wedlock? Oh, so I guess we know what you are. He had to suffer these things growing up in a time when it was very, very rare. In a time when you were outcast for those things. That, okay, the angel of the Lord impregnated your mom. Sure, okay. Stay away from that family, okay? Sure. I mean, can you imagine your defense in that? Yeah, it was the angel, man. My dad told me. I mean, he was ridiculed. He was looked at as that child. He was looked at as that child. He understands what it is to go through emotional pain of being part of an illegitimate birth in society. He understands what it is to not to get any respect in your hometown. That's what he said. He was reading some of those verses, and he goes on to say, man, a prophet receives no honor. He receives honor everywhere else except for when he goes to his hometown. In his hometown, people didn't believe him. In his hometown, he was just Jesus the carpenter. He was never going to be Jesus the God. They would never accept that fullness of who he was. They always just want to see him as Jesus the carpenter. And so he understands what it is to have people who are closest to you, your family, your friends, your hometown, to give you pain and not accepting who you are. He understands the pain. He understands the race. Can anything good come out of Jerusalem? It was a very prejudiced place. He understood for people to look at their nose at you just because of the race of who you was. Because he was. He was, even on his cross, he was put as the King of the Jews, racially mocking him. He understands what it is to have someone make fun of your race just because of your nationality. He was rejected. The very ones who waved the palm branches and said, Hosanna, Hosanna. Just a few days later were saying, crucify him, crucify him. He understands the rejection of that. He understands to go through emotional pain of being rejected, of going through things in your life that were unfair to you. He can identify. He knows physical pain. We know the Jewish guards, along with Herod's guards and Pilate's guards, all three guards beat him. Beat him to no recognition. Look at what it says here. Physical pain. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And the stripes, by his stripes, we were healed. Man, he was bruised. He was beaten. He was striped across his back in ways that we could never imagine. He was beaten to raw flesh hung off his bones. It's hard to picture our Lord this way, isn't it? It's harder to comprehend this than to picture our Lord this way. But he knows what it is to have your beard plucked out. He knows that what it is to have people mocking you and spitting in your face while you hang on the cross. You know, when you died on the cross, it was a tortured death. It wasn't a fast death. It was a tortured death. It was a tortured thing. It's hard to imagine our Savior dying a slow, tortured death. But that's what happened. They tortured him to death. And so can he identify with your pains that you have, the physical pains in your body? You better believe it. You better believe it. And when you say, Jesus, I'm hurting. My body hurts. I need healing in my body. God, Jesus, I just need to tell you I'm hurting. He comes with grace and mercy because he knows what it is to suffer physical pain. This is the carpenter. This is the relationship you and I can have with Jesus the Son. It's a relationship where we can identify with him through the throne of grace and knowing that he has walked in our shoes. He's been tempted in things we've been tempted in. He understands the daily things I struggle with. He understands the daily things that tempt me. He understands the daily struggles that I have with people and relationships and work. He understands my emotional pain. He understands my rejection. He understands physical pain. So today, when you develop a relationship with the Son and you talk to Jesus, you know with boldness that I can go to the throne of grace, and He understands and He brings grace and mercy to my situation. That's the relationship that we can have with the Son. This is going to be a good series as we learn more about who the Son is. I'm going to invite you right now to bow your heads. Today, if you're here and you say, Pastor, man, you're talking about Jesus and being a human being, a carpenter, and walking this earth. And for the first time, I'm relating to the Son in a way that maybe I've never seen Him before. I always just thought of Him as something in the sky. But today, I'm realizing the sacrifice that He really put Himself through for me so that He could relate to me, so He could forgive me of my sins and understand what He was doing to the fullest. He experienced it. He carried that cross upon His back. Today, if you're here and say, Pastor, this morning I just need to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. First of all, I've got to make things right with God. I want to accept Jesus Christ and everything that He has for my life. I want to confess my sin to Him and ask that He would be Lord of my life. I want to learn to live for Him. I want to make sure that heaven's my home, and I can start a new relationship with Him, first of all. That starts with a confession of my sins to Him. Accepting the forgiveness He's already given to me. Accepting the price He's already paid for me. So if you're here and you say, Pastor, it's me. Nobody's looking around but me. I would not embarrass you in one way at all. Believe that. No one's looking but me. But today, if you're here and you say, Pastor, I want to accept Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. Can you just raise your hand where you're at and say, that's me, Pastor. I want to accept Him. Thank you. Anybody else today? Anybody else want to raise your hands? That's me. Thank you. Anybody else today want to join these two? Thank you. Anybody else today want to join these three today? And say, that's me, Pastor. I want to accept Jesus Christ. Thank you. Anybody else want to join these four today? And say, that's me, Pastor. I'm ready to accept Jesus Christ today in my life in a way that I never had before. I'm ready to start a new relationship with the Son. One more time. If you didn't raise your hand today and you want to raise it, thank you. I see the other person. You want to join these five that's already raised your hand and say, that's me, Pastor. I'm ready to accept Jesus Christ today. We had five people who raised their hands this morning. So let's say this prayer together out loud. We're all going to say it together. Especially those today who raised your hands. I want you to say this prayer from your heart. Let's all say it together. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I give you everything I am. All of my sin, I give to you. Today, I accept your forgiveness. Today, I ask you to be Lord of my life. I will live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today and you meant it, we say, welcome to the family of God. Give them a hand clap. Yeah, we can. Now listen, if you raise your hand today, and let me say, this is just the beginning. It's a new start. It's a new thing, but it doesn't stop right here. It's a relationship that's got to be developed. A relationship with the Son that's got to develop. And that comes through getting involved in a local church, getting involved with friends, other Christians who can support you and teach you about God's Word and make sure that you're here and keep you accountable. So make sure today, if you prayed that prayer, that you get involved. If you have a local church, get involved in that local church. If you don't, you get involved here. Be faithful. Get involved in something that's going on so we can help disciple you. Before you leave today, those of you raise your hands, we got a special pack in the back. It's got a Bible and some other things in there we want to give you. This is a special gift today. It tells you what to do next. Where do I go from here? This kind of tells you more about you, what decision you made today, and how to go forward. In the very back, we have those available for you. We'll have those immediately following the service. But I'm going to invite you to stand today. As you stand with me today, I'm going to ask, how many people today say, Pastor, I want to develop a new, fresh relationship with Jesus. During this series, I want to identify with Him. I want to learn to talk to Him on a daily basis. I want to learn that I can identify the struggles I have at my job with Him because He understands me. And I want to learn to talk about the emotional and physical pains that I have because He understands me. I want to learn to talk about the things I'm doing at my job, my relationships, because he understands me. I want my level of communication with him. I want my level of trust. I want my level of relationship to go higher with him. I want to go deeper in all my relationships, not only with the Holy Spirit that I'm already developing now. I want to learn to talk to Jesus as well. I want to learn to identify with who he is in my life and who he's calling me to be. If that's you today, say, Pastor, that's me. Can you just raise your hand and say, I'm ready for a new relationship with Jesus, man. I want to go deeper. Can we just lift our hands up as a form today? If you're comfortable doing that, we like to lift our hands just as a sign of surrender. Scripture teaches us that we lift up holy hands in the sanctuary. It's a sign of surrender to our Father. As your hands are lifted today, I'm going to close out in prayer. Father, I thank you, Lord, for every hand lifted today. Lord, I'm thankful for your Son, Jesus, who sits on a throne of grace and who looks at us today, not as failures, but he looks at us with sympathy, with mercy and grace, and he understands everywhere we've been because he sits on a throne of grace, because he's walked in our shoes. He understands every temptation we face. He understands every addiction we've had. He understands every failure we've gone through. God, he understands everything in our life. And God, today, I thank you that, God, we can come boldly to you, Jesus. We can come boldly to you because you know who we are, and you bring that grace, and you flood it in our life. And now we open up our heart today, and we receive grace that's unobtained, that's unmerited, but it's given by grace and mercy today. God, we receive that, and may it today we start walking in a new relationship with Jesus, who you are in our life, as we understand you as the carpenter, that you are just like us, that you walked the earth just like us, as we understand that you struggled with school and you struggled with relationships with parents and you struggled with relationships with people and you struggled with work and you struggled with pain. And God, we can identify with that because we do those same things. And God, today, it's with boldness today that we lift our hands. It's with boldness today that we say we want to know you in a deeper way and identify with you with everything that you've identified with us. We receive your mercy today, God, when we walk in the new, fresh fullness of our relationship with the Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you today. Make sure if you raised your hand, go back here and get one of those welcome packets, those welcome to the family of God. God bless you today. Hug a neck before you leave. Shake some hands. Enjoy the rest of your holiday weekend. Have a great day.